from KQED.
And we begin today with the start of a new era. It was Back to the Future this week in Sacramento when the 34th governor became California's 39th governor.
The year ahead will demand courage and sacrifice. The budget I propose will assume that each of us who are elected to do the people's business will rise above ideology and partisan interest and find what's required for the good of California.
Jerry Brown may be the oldest person ever to become governor of California, but he's ushered in a very new tone compared with his predecessor, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Joining us now to talk about the new administration is Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers. And John, we'll get to substance in just a minute, but in terms of style, what's been different this week at the state capitol?
I think the style difference really, Scott, has been huge. And, you know, people could scoff about how much we would talk about these kind of things, but politics is about perception a lot of times. And I think Jerry Brown has made it clear in style and tone this week he is no Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, for starters, he's kind of come out of the shell of the governor's private offices in the Capitol. He's been walking around the building, not afraid to stop and answer questions from the public or the press. Shuttling in and out of the offices of legislators and interest groups outside the Capitol, you know, willing to meet in places other than his own turf. No one knows whether these kind of things really would win him friends, I think. But after 7 years of Hollywood security details, it seems like, and Klieg lights, it probably can't hurt.
And in terms of substance, the governor did make a number of appointments this week, new agency directors, members of the State Board of Education, his own staff, and so on. How would you characterize those appointments? What stands out about them?
Well, first of all, they've all been Democrats. Now, that's not terribly surprising, but I think if Jerry Brown is going to ask Republicans to put aside party politics this year, he's going to have to probably do some of the same of that with other parts of his administration. Secondly, I think it's worth mentioning they're all seasoned veterans, environmental issues, education, so forth, people who know what they're doing. His top staff position, which in his last term as governor was called the chief of staff. Now we're calling it an executive secretary, which is what it was called historically. He split that role into two top advisors. And, you know, I don't think that's by accident, Scott. I think Brown wants to make clear that he's in charge, not staff. And I think we're also seeing a smaller inner circle as a result.
Well, next week, the governor, John, is going to release his new state budget. Lots of talk about how we're going to solve this huge deficit once again. And Jerry Brown is talking about shifting power and control of programs from Sacramento to counties. So why does that matter?
Well, it matters because those programs cost a lot. You know, 71 cents of every dollar in the state budget goes directly to services that are administered by locals. And the reason for that is that the locals lost a lot of their traditional revenue stream, which was property taxes, after Prop 13. And so, you know, here we are back on a discussion of the aftermath of Prop 13, which all happened on Jerry Brown's first watch. And this is a pretty tricky thing to do, to move some of these programs, you know, in some of the dysfunction, as people have called it in government, save the state money, shift control. Here's how Jerry Brown framed the issue this week in a brief chat with reporters.
What my principle is one of returning power closest to the people, where people can have some impact, some voice, participation, and yet we do need certain basic standards.
And you know, that last part is tough, Scott. How much freedom can local communities have about the level of services they provide without vast disparities popping up in help for the poor, the disabled? And county officials will tell you that their other big concern is that they don't get dumped all of the programs without some reliable revenues.
Well, and another big constituency really going to be looking at the budget next week, education. Half the state budget goes to schools. And, you know, school officials are saying they can't take any more cuts. It's already cut to the bone. Is there any way around that?
Well, one of the things we're hearing that is probably going to come out of this budget related to a special election later in 2011, and that is that we're told that, you know, that the governor may make it very clear that K through 12 education funding will not be cut if voters approve extending some tax increases that are about to expire. Now, the taxes are worth about $8 billion. That translates with the formulas into about $2 billion for schools. And this week already, we got the rumblings of a political campaign that's going to come on that. Here's Bob Wells. He works with the Association of California School Administrators.
It's really tough in this state. I think we've developed a culture of thinking we can have a lot of services and we don't have to pay for them. And we look forward to being part of a coalition that takes the message to voters that we need great schools in California. It's the foundation of a strong economy and a well-educated workforce, and you do have to pay for it.
But here's the other problem, Scott. You know, the issue of taxes for schools can't even get on the ballot without a few Republican legislators going along and putting it there. And already, almost every GOP legislator who signed this no new taxes pledge are being told by their supporters, you vote to put this on the ballot, you just broke your pledge. That's going to be really tough for Governor Brown.
Finally, John, Governor Brown is going to get a plum appointment to the state Supreme Court soon. Justice Carlos Moreno announcing his retirement this week. And, you know, the last time he was governor, Brown appointed some very controversial judges. They mostly opposed the death penalty, and they were ultimately removed by voters, Rose Byrd being the most notorious of that bunch. You know, this week I talked with Stanford Law School Dean Larry Kramer about the kind of person the governor should appoint to the Supreme Court, and here's what he said.
I think it's positively immoral for political figures to try and take their opportunities to put people on the bench to advance an agenda of their own that they can then extend beyond their time in office. I just think that's the wrong way to think about it.
So, John, what are we going to learn about this new version of Jerry Brown based on his choice to replace Carlos Moreno?
One thing I think this will do is show how much more Jerry Brown knows about the law, the courts, and crime and punishment than he knew in the old days. You know, we've got to remember this Jerry Brown has been attorney general. He's been mayor of a large city. And he seems to have shed some of his penchant, I think, for novelty in favor of pragmatism. And really, Scott, if nothing else, Jerry Brown needs the focus of this first year in office to stay on the state's budget mess. He doesn't need a sideshow about a controversial appointment to the state Supreme Court. So I would think the safe bet probably is a safe pick, I guess you could say, for the court.
All right. John Myers, our Sacramento Bureau Chief. Lots for you to follow. I'm sure we'll be chatting again next week, John. Thanks.
Thanks, Scott.